It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
I got a fireball in my mouth again this morning. Had a funny conversation last night with my grandson. He likes him. I love him. I love him, especially in the morning. I want to be good and hot when we get going here. And he, you know, he's 5 years old, I think. I mean, yeah, he's five. And I said, he said, Grampy, these ought to be called hot balls. I said, what? They ought to be called hot balls. I said, well, David, they're fireballs. That's why they call them fireballs, because they're hot. And they make you feel like there's fire. And he said, yeah, but Grampy, fire gets hotter and hotter. I said, I know, man. I know, David. That's why I like fireballs. So I got a fireball in my mouth today. They do get hotter and hotter. And, well, that's prophetic. I heard that, Lord. Holy Spirit, when I was a kid, they used to call me a fireball. Isn't that something? Because I was diminutive, they said about me. So I was always running around. I told somebody the other day, maybe it was on the show, I never saw myself as small. I still don't see myself as small. I look at a picture of me standing beside Steve Deck. I come up to his armpit. He towers above me. I look at me. I don't see small. Folks, you understand that? I'm just telling you, I don't see small. And the first thing everybody says when they meet me for the first time is, I thought you would be taller. I thought you would be taller. It's the first thing they say. And I say, yeah, well, I thought you'd be thinner, you fat ass. Pardon me. Shouldn't have said that. Shouldn't have said that. But see, we can get away to calling people short, can't we? And people who are short, remember that song, Short People Got No Reason to Live? I'd have pulled that. I'm on a roll today, boy, because I got punched by the Holy Spirit just before the show started. And couldn't wait. I know this is Thanksgiving. I know we're supposed to come on and talk about turkeys and stuffing. I know I'm going to do that. I'm not going to take time to look over my shoulder. I'm thankful for what's gone, but I'm thankful for what's ahead of me. I'm thankful for the victory that lies ahead of me. That's where I am. Larry, got the news about your wife. We're standing in prayer with you, brother. Got an update at all about her. What? Let's not repeat what the devil said, Larry, but is there anything we can do? You're muted, Larry.
Well, just be thankful for each day's opportunity to make more memories.
Amen, brother. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's why Michelle and I went on our 41st anniversary. Again, I thank Roger Weaver for providing that opportunity to go do it. We needed it. We needed it. So we're up and rolling today. And I have a play. I'm going to call a play. All right. Hate to start out with the play, but I'm going to start out with a play. And I am amazed to look and see how many of you got up this morning on Christmas morning, the day many of you could have slept in for the first time. Amazes me. I thank you. I thank you for being here. What did I say?
Christmas. My birthday.
Christmas.
Whatever. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. I'm telling my head. You get punched by the Holy Spirit, it makes you crazy. It does. So I want to share with you. I was working this morning. I was up early. Lord had me up about 4 o'clock. Maybe it wasn't the Lord. It certainly was. I woke up at 4 o'clock. I quit trying to spiritualize everything. I couldn't go back to sleep. I slept great, but I couldn't go back to sleep. So rather than sit there and wrestle with flesh and blood, I got up and went out and said, Lord, what do you have for me today? That's how my morning starts a lot of times. Normally I'm up at, try to get up about 5:30, get show prep and all that stuff going on. It was 4 o'clock this morning. And the Lord took me through a lot of things. And I'm sitting down with my computer in front of me, doing what I call show prep, preparing what I want to try, what the Lord would want me to bring to the table. And as I'm doing that, I get a text from Stephanie, our resident pagan. Oops, sorry, Stephanie, our resident ex-pagan. I get a text from her, and she says, what does she say? Let me find you, Stephanie. I'm not dropping dime on you here. She says to me, no, I don't want to talk about that. She says, Coach, how many other serpent mounds across America are there? Are those Leviathan high spots? And as she's talking to me, I look down at my computer and I'm studying Leviathan. Now, you may not think that's, I think it's something. I think, whoa, Lord, okay, boom. Let me dig a little deeper here, Lord. I'm calling a play. December 21st. I'm calling a play. Now, this play doesn't have, listen, I'm going to lay it out to you. I don't want some of, you can mark this one down. We're doing this one, okay? If some of you want to travel and be part of it, that's up to you. It doesn't matter. I know the people around Ohio. I know OJ and his crew. I know we'll get enough people there. But I want to show you exactly what the Lord punched me in the face with today. Because remember, what are we? We're fire starters, aren't we? We're SWAT team. We're spiritual weapons and tactics. And we all have to admit that there is something deeply spiritual that's going on here in America. And we can't figure out what it is. We cannot figure out what it is. And as I'm talking to Stephanie, and I'm reading what Stephanie's texting me to me, the Holy Spirit's just going to pop up. You ever seen one of those little, how those boxers have that little what do they call that? When they punch it, that's what I felt like. The Holy Spirit just hit me in the face that I would be so ignorant to not understand. We went to Guidestones. We've gone to all these other places, these other high places. How can I miss it? So I began to dig into how are we going to win, folks? How are we going to win? Now, I'm telling you this right now, if you paid any attention yesterday, and I don't want to get into all this stuff. If you paid any attention at all to what happened yesterday in the courts, the left's in trouble. Hey, listen, the left is all in and they're losing. The left is all in. And they are about to get, it's right here. I'm going to use this word, I'm quoting it right here. The left is losing and they're about to get their ass kicked. Somebody give me a thumbs up. I'm telling you, the left is losing. They're all in and there's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. Are you guys with me? The expose that's coming is going to be beyond what we can ever even understand or imagine. I don't know what it is, okay? I don't get it all, but it's happening. Yesterday when Rudy Giuliani laid out the fact that in Pennsylvania, 1.5 million paper ballots were mailed out. 1.5 million paper ballots were requested and sent out. 1.5 million. And 2.25 million were returned. I'm sorry, I got it wrong. No, I know, I got it right. So in other words, 750,000 more ballots were returned than requested. Are you with me, folks? These are numbers. These are numbers. This is evidence, right? This is evidence. Something's going on. So listen. Here's where I am. Hey, up on the screen right now, December 21st, mark it down. Mike's got it up on the schedule up on the screen for you right now. Again, let me apologize for the same thing as yesterday. Number one, I apologize to John Diamond for walking all over him. I couldn't figure out why there was such delay. Normally when we do the show, if I say, what's going on, Larry? Larry responds immediately. John had a delay for some time. I'd say, what's going on, John? And as you guys know, it was like 15 seconds before he ever responded. And I was constantly walking on him. So I apologized to him. It was a technical issue. So John, I apologize for that. But I came up, what, when is the shortest day of the year in 2020? Winter solstice date, meaning and how it is celebrated. I got this from our ex-pagan cheerleader, Stephanie. So I want to share it with you. This year, the winter solstice falls on Monday, 21st of December. Write that down, folks. We're calling a play. This is the most common date for the year's shortest day, although it occurs on the 22nd December every few years. So the shortest day of the year, called the winter solstice, is usually December 21st, which is the first day of winter, right? We're not in winter yet. That's why I always measure it. I always tell everybody 21st of December, 21st of March, 21st of June, and 21st of September. That's when the seasons change, officially change. But these are high days. These are high pagan holidays. You with me, folks? So, Mike, scroll on down. By the way, this just published November 24th. Winter must be coming, but the seasons have passed in an unfamiliar pattern this year. Boy, is that ever true, huh? Was there ever anything like 2020? With much of the UK confined to its homes for long periods of time to COVID-19 restrictions, this was felt particularly acutely during the lockdown measures, which affected much of the spring and summer. Yada, yada, eat your heart out. The arrival of autumn then brought tears. Okay, hang on. Here's when the 21st falls and the traditions and celebrations which the date is associated with. So we're going to see pagan holidays. December 21st is a high pagan holiday. Without me going through the whole thing, Stephanie, I don't even know if you're able to weigh in. If you want to try to weigh in on it and explain this a little bit more, it is a high pagan holiday. When you go to the Circle Mounds in Newark, Ohio here, and there's an opening, that opening is when the sun rises on March 21st. The sun rises right in that opening. All right. This is, what do they call it? Cosmetological, whatever. This is otherworldly, folks. Okay. So this year, the winter solstice falls on Monday, 21st of December. Can you scroll down a bit, Mike? My screen's kind of covered there. Thanks. This is its most common date, although it occurs every year. On this date, London is set to have just less than 8 hours of daylight. The winter solstice marks the date when the Earth's axis rotates to the point at the North Pole, farthest distance from the sun, blah, blah, blah. But just pagan, folks, it is a high pagan holiday. So here's what we're going to do. I'm making a connection here. Look at this. I'm kind of reading some of this as it goes down there. That looks like where we just went down in Georgia, doesn't it? That looks like the, my brain's fried this morning. Not fried, it's just I got, Lord, call me down.
Guide stones.
Yeah, call me down here, Lord. Let me make sense of this. So they, listen, the left understands the power of darkness and they understand the significance of the 21st. We don't get it, maybe we don't understand it, but let me tell you, they do. And it's very, very important to them. So I'm hearing from Stephanie. I'm reading the scriptures. I'm in Job 41, which you don't have to go there right now, Mike. And boom, 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 like I'm getting punched by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's saying to me, Coach, how can you not see it? How can you not see it? Was what I was hearing from the Holy Spirit. I said, see what? See what? See what? Mike, go down to where I got to find it here. Oh, my goodness. Where is it? Yeah. Mike, Serpent Mound. Third thing down, Mike. Serpent Mound. How could I not see it? Leviathan. I'm going to come back to Leviathan and the spirit of Leviathan. Leviathan is, in the scriptures, referred to as like a serpent or a snake or a dragon or something big. Leviathan, right? Well, lo and behold, bang, again, I'm getting punched, right? I went to the History Channel just down the road about an hour and 15 minutes from me, maybe an hour and a half. John Brockoff would know. Lies the Great Serpent Mound. Randy, do you hear that? The Serpent Mound, brothers. The Serpent Mound. The Leviathan Serpent Mound. What is it we're fighting? Could we be fighting the spirit of Leviathan in America today and not even understand it?
Amen, Coach.
I'm going to show you the significance, and then I'm going to pull back and I'm going to try to crack it open for you a little bit here today. Okay, this is Mike. You can speed this up. You can put this on about time and a half. Now, watch, folks. We're going to talk about the serpent. Hold that picture right there. If you're looking at your screen right now, I don't know if you guys can see this. Mike, take your pointer and point it clear up to the top of the snake. Right, folks, right there on the screen. Those who study the Serpent Mound say that is a picture of the serpent swallowing an egg. The seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. That's what they say is going on in this picture. Are you with me? All right. Now, this is the History Channel, so they're not going to come from a spiritual standpoint. They're going to come from an Indian standpoint, which is what they've done to us all across here where the giants once roamed. Laugh if you want to. I don't care. Mike, play this real quickly. This is the History Channel talking about the Serpent Mound, where we're going to go on December 21st. Go ahead. Go ahead and play it.
Pleasant Hill, Ohio, 1848. The Smithsonian Institute surveys a 1,350-foot-long, 3-foot-high effigy mound built in the shape of a coiling serpent. Like the lines and geoglyphs of Nazca, this reptilian motif, known as the Serpent Mound, can only be seen from high above the earth.
In the Native American legend, we call him the Plume Serpent, which is probably the same as a Quetzalcoatl down in the tribes in Mexico. The Plume Serpent theory is probably related to something that came from the sky. It came from the extraterrestrial territory. Serpent Mound and other places of what the Indians used to call places of worship are very important to study these things. There are certain things that are connected for the well-being of the planet, whether it be the magnetic system, whether it be the ley lines, whether it be observance of points from other worlds that were existed here before.
According to historians and anthropologists, an indigenous Native American...
Do you guys hear him telling the spiritual story and doesn't even know it? Do you understand? Do you hear him telling you a spiritual story and he doesn't even know it? Go on.
Amen.
Built the mound nearly 1,000 years ago. But if so, why?
Serpent Mound is an extraordinary site. It is one of the most important sites in North America. It's almost as if somebody is trying to point out that for anybody passing from above, he or she or it is about to approach a site of importance.
Why would a so-called primitive people have constructed a massive earthwork that, like the geoglyphs and lines in Nazca, went unnoticed and undetected by those on the ground for hundreds of years? Perhaps a clue can be found in the fact that the Serpent Mound was constructed on the edge of a meteor crater that was formed approximately 300 million years ago. Coincidence? Or was the mound's proximity to a meteor site intended to mark the presence of a very rare and precious element often found in meteors? Iridium.
Iridium has great conductive abilities, and it's one of the rarest elements we have, and it tends to be concentrated in unique areas for two reasons, either a meteorite crash at some point in the past or volcanic activity and lava flows.
Could the Serpent Mound be a marker where extraterrestrial beings mined iridium as an energy source, as some ancient astronaut researchers believe? And if so, might there be a connection between energy in the ground here and that found in the Nazca Plain? Perhaps more clues can be found by examining the mysterious crop circles discovered throughout the world. Wiltshire, England, 1978. Here, in this tranquil countryside 90 miles west of London, strange crop circles begin to appear overnight in fields of wheat and corn. Like the geoglyphs found at Nazca, the designs are geometric shapes seen only from above.
There is a correlation between the ancient glyphs and the modern crop circles in that they're both being presented to the Earth from what we would call star peoples using a higher technology.
Mainstream scientists have yet to acknowledge an extraterrestrial connection to crop circles. But ancient astronaut theorists remain convinced that there is more here than what meets the skeptical eye. While some crop circles are undoubtedly the work of farmers and others trying to pull off a hoax, many cannot be explained so easily. They appear to be made too quickly, too perfectly. Some magically appear within a few hours, accompanied by strange lights in the sky. Could there be a connection between these unusual shapes and the mysterious designs found at Nazca?
Somebody is trying to communicate with us, and we are too stupid to understand the communication. One morning, you have a simple circle in a crop field. Now the humans think, okay, circle, it happens by the wind or by animals overnight or whatever. We all are too arrogant, so we don't try the communication.
Is there really a profound connection between the Nazca lines and crop circles, as ancient astronaut theorists believe? And might they contain messages that we have yet to decode? If so, what are they trying to tell us?
Wow. So, folks, do you see that they're talking about, listen, not extraterrestrial, but interdimensional. See, they don't believe in the spiritual world, so they can't talk about interdimensional, so they talk about extraterrestrial. They don't know how else to be able to explain it. Right, folks? This is a high, high place. They said it themselves. The conduction of power. What was it? I'd never even heard of that. And what is that? Something that magnifies and transmits power? Somebody smarter than me understand this? Does anybody see the significance of this? right here in my own backyard. Go ahead, Clay.
Yeah, did you hear him say that that something may have come from another world to that spot?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I've done some research on that serpent man. And do you see how the tail of that serpent, it coils? The end of that, the tail end of that, it coils, and those coils represent portals. And instead of that serpent eating an egg, I've had a long theory that the egg's not going in, it's coming out. That meteor supposedly come down and crashed right there. We don't know where it came from, but that coiled tail represents a portal. And so what is that? Is that an egg, or is that a meteor, or is that a craft? You know, what is it that's coming out of that thing?
We don't know this, but we do know this, don't we? That there's an eternal battle between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. And if you cannot see that breaking out in front of us right now, Mike, go to understanding Leviathan. Now, Leviathan's all throughout Job 41. I went through that today. I got to go back and do some more research on it. We've all heard the term Leviathan. We've used the term, at least I have, Leviathan. But here, listen, I found this from Phyllis Ford Ministries. I don't even know who she is, but Mike, stay right at the top of that, if you will. Ultimately, folks, think about this now. Leviathan can be most easily identified as a spirit of pride. Pride. Pride is the ultimate power spirit of Leviathan. And Leviathan is more than just some little fallen angel. This thing is a principality. This is a big, big thing. Job writes about it. But understanding the spirit of Leviathan, Mike, make that a little bit larger. It says attitudes connected to the Leviathan spirit. And you ask me, my friends, if this is not what's loose in America today. The spirit of Leviathan, attitudes connected to the spirit of Leviathan. What did we just talk about? They talked about that mineral that was found there and its conductivity. And just as we went down to the I can never remember that place, Guidestones, there's a power emanating. Randy, what if this is a higher power source? What if this is the main, dare I say it, atomic energy plant? What if this is it? And it's kicking power down. Boys. So what is the attitude connected to the Leviathan spirit, which is spoken of in Job 41? A condescending attitudes towards others in the body. Wow. Now look, folks. This Leviathan spirit is alive and well in our churches. You hear that, Larry? Did you hear that, Larry? This Leviathan spirit just isn't involved in government and in family structures. This Leviathan spirit attacks authority, folks. It attacks authority everywhere. Number two, Leviathan spirit is independent, has an independent attitude. No wonder those pastors won't work together, huh? Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. That spirit of Leviathan.
Amen.
Amen.
The spirit of Leviathan's after self-glory, right? Self-glory. My ministry. My this, my that, my. We don't even know we're doing it. We don't even know we're doing it. Why?
My church, coach, right? My church. That's
my church. My church. My church. My anointing. My blessing. My. All centered in the spirit of Leviathan. Self-glory. Number four, self-confidence. Lack of time in his presence. Leviathan will do everything it can, to prevent you from spending time with the Lord. Critical and condemning attitudes and thoughts. We call that Phariseeism, don't we? Don't we call that? Is that spirit alive and well in the church or not? Somebody say amen, although you don't have to. I know. I've been sucker punched all morning, okay?
Amen.
That I could miss this and not understand it. Number five, how about this? Boasting over achievements in revelation. People out there who self-identify as prophets and self-identify as this and apostle this or apostles. Huh? Wow. Dishonor of authority. Boys and girls, who's the ultimate authority? We know who the ultimate authority is. When you bow your knee to an ungodly government and the ungodly government edicts, you are dishonoring authority. Somebody say amen, although you don't have to. Number nine, the Leviathan spirit desires to be served. Desires to be served. Wants to stand up in front of the congregation and everything focused towards him. Now, he doesn't realize it. It's his spirit. Look at what's going on in our government. They call them government servants. Ha! Are you kidding me? Servants? You tell me Joe Biden's a government servant? Give me a break, right? Why? Because the Leviathan spirit has them desiring to be served, not to serve. They desire reputation. I'm going to say it. Some of you got mad at me because you said, well, Coach doesn't recognize what I do. He's always recognizing Bobby Lee, and he's always recognizing Mark Trump, but he don't recognize me. Really? Why do you want to be recognized? Could you be influenced by that spirit of pride, that Leviathan spirit? Not even know that it's happening to you? Desiring to control others? Use of position or authority or gift to fulfill selfish ambition and vision. Are you watching some of these mega pastors? Are you kidding me? Are we looking at the power that the Democratic Party, those elected officials, do you understand, folks, this spirit is engulfing all of, by the way, didn't they say plumed spirit? Isn't that where the name of America came from? Wasn't America once known as the land of the plumed spirit? Somebody Google it right now. I'm not making it up. It's one of those punches I got this morning.
Amen. Hey,
hang on, one more. Mocking or coming against deliverance ministry. Making fun of spiritual warfare, brother. Go ahead, Clay.
I'm just going to say, when you said the plumed serpent, I mean, y'all can do some research on this, but on top of the White House, only on top of the Capitol, that statue that's standing on top of the Capitol, my research has said that is a star person, and it is plumed with feathers, eagle feathers.
Uh-huh.
It looks like kind of like a Native American, and I can't find to this day exactly what that's supposed to represent.
So in other words, Clay, it's a cell tower. Sending and receiving. Man, Randy, do you see this? I see this so clear. Stay with me now. So how does Leviathan attack? I'm not going to read all this. A lying tongue. He wants people to believe lies about you, especially those who minister with you. And if he can't get you in sin, he will accuse you even if he has to make up a lie against you. Number two, miscommunication. Leviathan spirit wants to go between you and the revelation of God and distort the word of the Lord. It will seek to hide from you true revelation and confuse the true meaning of things. It wants to be the go-between your conversation and hearing and then distort or mutter when something else is really being said. It wants to come between friends, ministry, even children and parents. Somebody say amen on that one. Somebody say amen there.
Amen.
Amen. Truth.
Amen. Amen.
It wants to twist God's truth and rob us of our prophetic promise. Temptations of pride, on and on. Okay, so we're going there. We're going to go to the Serpent Mound on October 20. I'm sorry, I lost all track of time. December 21st. I think it's a, look at your calendar. Is it a Monday? I think it's a Monday. Hey, you can come in on Sunday. Yeah. You can come in on Sunday if you want to, and we'll go do it on Monday, and we'll go take authority. I would imagine pagans and all of them probably going to be out down there too, but that's okay. We're going to cut those cords, some too. We're going to cut those cords. So those of you who can make it, begin making plans. We're going to do it. This is the spirit of pride, self-assuredness, not working together, not trusting him. That's not of the Lord, boys and girls. It's not of the Lord.
Hey, Coach?
Yes.
Returning to that list of things that the spirit of Leviathan operates through and by. Number five, not spending time with the Lord. Is that you mean like producing a bulletin so that the order of service and everything is locked in concrete and there is zero room for the Holy Spirit to lead?
Well, Larry, that's the way we've always done it around here. That's the way churches run. Larry, are you trying to sow discord amongst the brethren, Larry? Right? And huh? You hear it?
No,
you
I'm trying it? To tell the brethren to get the hell out of those places.
I tried to. You get it, right? You get it. So all of verse 4, I want to take you to Job right now because it's all the spirit of Leviathan. And Job 41, read it for yourself, talks about it. Leviathan's mentioned throughout all of the scriptures. And here I sit at Ohio, the heart of it all, and this monstrous beast, this monument to Leviathan is an hour and a half from my house, and I never really considered what's going on. Why would all those giants, why does L.A. Marzulli call Ohio Nephilim Central? Why would the History Channel tells us it's flying saucers?
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Hey, why would the elders come all the way up from South America in, what was that, 2012? They literally came up from South America and started at the Serpent Mound with their chanting and, I think, opening doorways. And they went across America with those crystal skulls and stuff. And they literally started at the Serpent Mound. Now, if this wasn't anything important, why would these, I think they were Mayans or whatever, true elders make that journey? Why would they start there?
Well, it's important to them, isn't it, Stephanie? They sure think something's going on. And if you could.
Exactly. They know exactly. And I don't think it was about, everyone was worried about, oh, the world's going to change or die. No, I think we shifted. It wasn't about the earth dying in 2000 when everybody was, you know, waiting for that. Something opened up. That's when everything shifted and the door opened and many more people became more open to many more things. And that's just my opinion.
Stephanie, tell us the importance of the solstice from a pagan perspective.
Solstice is like a witch's new year. That's the time, you know, like we always talk about there's a time for everything. Winter is a time of death. It's a time of looking inward. So you're supposed to really look into yourself and what you need to deal with your own to make yourself stronger. We would always have like a feast too, and you still honor, you know, those that have passed along. You burn a Yule log. That's kind of like a casting away of whatever is bad, you know, kind of like like Bohemian Grove, how they have the casting of care, I think that's called, where pretty much you just have this piece and you put your focus into that wood. And you throw it into the fire to release it. There's always that fire in there to release that too.
Steph, let me get this straight, Stephanie. That's coming from the flying saucers. Is that where that's coming from, the flying saucers?
Flying saucers.
That's a joke, right?
Yeah.
That's what they want us to believe,
yeah.
Right?
I literally, like when they're talking about, you know, the star people, me, myself, like I said, I've been involved in this for many, many years. And I saw many, many different flavors of the occult and the craft. I had friends from every single shade. Like I said, I kind of stayed away from the Satanist ones because I didn't really understand that. But I was led towards the Native American because to me, that was natural. That wasn't people getting together. That was the old, that was the original, that was older than Jesus, that was, but literally if you dig down deep and you can, like a Joseph Riverwind was where I went for a lot of my information, and they talk about the star people came through a portal and gave these Native Americans knowledge on how to do things and how to work things and plant knowledge and stone knowledge and healing. And if you look it up, they were reptilian looking. And we go back to that serpent. And so I've been punched this morning, 3 o'clock this morning, I at least said getting punched in the face. I sat up and I've been looking into this encyclopedia, noticing that there's other like little serpent mounds places. And I'm like, wait a minute. And I've just pow, pow, pow this morning too. And I was going to go last year and I just didn't think it was ready. And then Henry Groover, if anyone doesn't know what happened to him, anyone that is going to go, I want to say, you need to fast for this one. I really feel that this will need a fasting and prayer. for this place. This place is much more, I think, than any of us understand.
That's right. That's right. We don't.
And that's just my.
That's like our Stephanie. I remember when making an illustration here, folks, back in the early 1995, 96, maybe. I got a call from a big high school in Cleveland that wanted me to come be their football coach. We were really good, really. Our teams are really good, really successful. The guy got me on the phone. The athletic director said, "Hey, Coach Dave, listen, you've been recommended to us by," and he told me who the coach was, a big name coach down in Central Ohio. "We're looking for a football coach," and the guy that he referred to said, "If we didn't hire you, we were missing." That I was going to turn so. So we went up there and interviewed and then wined and dined us. And I'll never forget, the athletic director pulled me aside in the corner, just like you would see some intimidating guy. And he looked me in the eye and he said, "Coach, listen, I want you to understand one thing. You come here, you're effing with the big boys." I never forgot that. "Hey, Randy. We're effing with the big boys. You understand, folks? You understand this? Huh? This ain't Biddy. But this is important. And with everything we see going on right now, somebody look up plumed spirit. Somebody look up plumed spirit. I just heard the Holy Spirit. Mike, see if you can do that. Find something about the plumed spirit. Go ahead, Joseph.
It'd be nice if Rush Dizdar came.
I'll try to get a hold of him. I'll try to get a hold of him, Tom Dunn, and everybody else that I can rule in. Plume, the myth of the plume spirit. It's what they called America. There's a significance there. The myth of the plume serpent, revealing the real message behind the feathered snake. So there is a real message behind the feathered snake. Okay, I'm going to shut up a minute because I want to shift gears. December 21st gives you a month. Put it on your calendar. You can come in the 20th. And it's still developing. So somebody, come on in.
Randy. Stephanie, I got a question for you. Have they collected all the crystal skull?
I don't really know because I believe that, you know, there are the real ones and there's also the fake ones. Because, you know, we see that they use that, and what was that movie back in the 80s, the Indiana Jones, you know. So at first you think it's just like a joke, you know what I mean? It's just a Hollywood thing, but there really are these weird skulls, and supposedly they have ancient knowledge, and that when they get them all together, it's going to do something. And so they're claiming that some people claim that they have them, and others claim that some of them are fake. But I just thought it was crazy that if they're fake, okay, well, then they sure went through a lot of hassle to travel, all these elder medicine shaman people from a different place to come here to bring these, you know, and then travel with them.
Randy, you know, come on in. Come on in, Randy.
An awful lot.
It is.
Coach, you won't believe this. I studied all day yesterday on God, on the earth and the heavens, the footstool, the throne, God's throne and the footstool. Okay, I can teach on that for a long time. But the connection for that, Coach, there's a connection. It's the two pillars for the throne are justice and righteousness. Okay, just look at that picture. That's God's picture. Now bring us over to what God's showing you guys right now. Okay, Leviathan and the serpent. Okay, Leviathan is also, Coach, in the heavens, it's the constellation of the dragon. Okay, now, what in Mark 16, what Jesus said, take up serpents. What did he
right.
Mark wrote this in Mark 16. Serpent, the word there is ophis. We get our word eyes, Coach. That comes, it's talking about a snake, a malicious person. But that comes from the root word optasia, which we get, has to do with the eyes, the optical. What is this? It's to gaze, to observe, to watch. To watch. Coach, put all this together. Look, Satan's system is he has to steal it. He has to hijack God's system. What is he doing? He sits in the heavens in, say, the constellation of Leviathan, and he connects the earth to all his portals that we're talking about.
Amen.
He has to steal it from the earth. God does it through the Holy Spirit, through angels, through righteousness and justice. Coach, he does it through pride and arrogance and maliciousness and all these things. We have these two things that are fighting right here in front of us.
Yes, sir.
And
yes, sir.
What are we connected with, Coach? But guess what we're going to do, Coach? It's just what we've been doing. We are tearing down their high Amen. Places so Amen. They can't communicate.
Amen. We're a tornado. We're a tornado. Oh, my goodness.
Buddy. Can I come in, Coach?
Please do.
Good morning, y'all. I handed Coach a picture on accident, handed him something, but I wanted to tell you what that was, where the sun is going through the clouds and there's a blue-looking planet. Well, I was in Colorado Springs, and Pike's Peak up top there has a stone with a hole in it. And at certain times, that's when this is viewed. I just wanted to throw that in there. That's what that was. You know, a lot of talk of Nibiru and all this, and those are a lot of fantasies. But that's really I don't want to say magic, but you know what they're doing.
Yeah, I get you, man. I get you. Listen, folks, it spells it out for us right in Genesis, right? Seed of the serpent, seed of the woman. Now, how that manifests, we don't really understand that, right? We don't really understand how the seed of the serpent operates, but we know that he does. We know that he does. And what we have yet to figure out is how is the seed of the woman supposed to operate? Because ultimately it says we're going to crush his skull, right? Skull, snake, Leviathan. Wow. Well, so listen, I got, oh man, Lord, help me do this. Help me make this work. Hey, Mike, pull up Supremes and Cuomo. Folks, we have a Leviathan spirit over America. Leviathan, the spirit of pride, a spirit of arrogance, self-importance over America. Look at this. I don't know if you guys saw this yesterday. The Supreme Court of the United States overturns Cuomo's religious service limits in New York. In other words, Cuomo said you can only have 10 people or half, whatever. And somebody took it to the Supreme Court. And yesterday, the Supreme Court ruled. Are you ready? You sitting down? 5-4. By a vote of 5-4, the Supreme Court ruled that the government can't tell the church what to do. 5-4. You have any idea how close we are? 5-4. Where do you suppose John Roberts went? Oh, yeah. Yeah, he went the wrong way, didn't he? So they acknowledged, at least temporarily, that the government has no authority over the church. Four of them think they do. Four of them think they do. See, that's the spirit of Leviathan. Do you understand that? Can't we see what's going on? We have to bind up that spirit. We have to bind it. Can you even imagine that the government, that Cuomo would think he has control over the church? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And can you imagine that the church believes that he does? We believe he does. And then what do? Oh, good. The Supreme Court's on our side. Whew. You know, we don't get it. We don't see the bigger picture that's going on, right, folks? Boy, we're in the middle of it, man. They are dropping bombs left and right all around us. They're planting landmines all around us. And we, oh, my God, we're missing it. God, we're so missing
it. Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Is there any way anybody you know or anybody else that knows anybody, is there any way you could get a bunch of us where nobody else would be in there, but we could get in the rotunda of the Congress and be able to pray and blow the shofar and preach? And right there is where all the devils are, right there in that Congress building under that daggum picture up there, man.
I'm with you. I don't know how that would work. Maybe if I run for Congress and get in there, I'll get a surprise. Just kidding. Not running for Congress. Did that one once. Tried that. Did that once. I don't know, Alan. But all we can do is go to these places that we can go to and do what we can while we can do it. I mean, I don't know.
Well, like Clay was saying, that's ISIS on top of the Congress. That's the Queen of Heaven, Jeremiah 44, that sits on top of that Congress. What a wicked bunch of mess that is.
Coach.
Yep, it is. Yeah, Randy.
Coach, I want to make this statement. Everybody can judge this, and you can say what you want. It's fine. But look, Coach, as we flip, look at what we're doing, Coach, right here. As we flip the spiritual authority, it's been upside down, Coach. What you're showing us, what we're learning right now, all of us in real time, we are learning how to flip the authority structure. It's been the Leviathan over God. Now we're flipping it back. And, Coach, that's exactly what's going on in the natural. The flipping the vote, the flipping the government. We're flipping it, Coach. As we flip that, everything in the natural is going to flip upright.
Folks, have you thought about this? Hang on with me. Stay with me a second. Thank you, Randy. Larry, do you want to come in, or you got your mic open? Okay. Listen, friends, listen. I've been pondering. I've been thinking about Mark Taylor and all these people who said that President Trump was going to get a second term and he was going to be reelected. And now everybody's out there saying, "Yeah, those prophets, see, they don't know what they're talking about. They were wrong on this one, huh?" Hey, listen, folks, listen. Listen to me. President Trump won a second term. He's won a second term. He's been elected a second time, folks. Now, are we going to sit by church and allow it to be stolen? Because he won a second term. He did. The prophets were right. So is the church going to remain silent? See, that's really where we are. If the church doesn't understand and recognize the times in which we live, if we don't understand what's going on, if you can't see by a 5-4 vote we're allowed to have church, if you can't understand that this Leviathan beast is trying to trample all over the church, if your eyes can't see that, right? So it's like the scripture that says, if you say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, you know, doubt in your heart that you shall have whatever you sayeth. It's the same thing. Donald Trump was reelected. Are we going to move the mountain and make sure he gets to go into the office? Or are we going to sit back and say, woe is me. Oh, well, boy, they cheated us again. They cheated. That's all right, Coach. It's what the Bible says is going to happen. We're going to be out of here soon. That's our, come on. Somebody say amen. That's our attitude, right?
I'm ready.
No, hey, no thought of victory. No attitude of victory at all. Amen. Go ahead, Craig.
Hey, Coach. Just a couple things here. Something to think about that will help us. At least it helps me. Maybe it will help someone else. When Ezekiel saw a wheel within a wheel, okay, we need to understand there's a wheel that's going out in the second heaven, and there's a wheel here in the first heaven. And they are intertwined. The things that are going on in the second, first heaven are all connected together, okay? Couple data points here, all right? The Guidestones, they were initiated on 3/22, March 22nd, okay? Second day after this, you know, another equinox, right?
Yeah.
Two is if you go here and you go up this website called Wake Up the World, what Stephanie was talking about, this crystal journey that was made at the Mayan calendar, what she's right is it wasn't necessary. They misunderstood it. It wasn't the end of the world. It was if you want to call it a dispensation. In other words, it was a changing. It was a turning of an event there. Now, guess what day they started to do that on? Their journey began in Manhattan on October 27th, October 2011, and it culminated on Los Angeles on November 11th, 2011. Mm. On 11/11, another group of 13 elders arrived from, Louisiana, from the mainland to come together, a gateway event. So, in other words, those days, remember we were talking about November 11th, 11/11/11, while we were there at the Guidestones, on 11/11/11, and we started praying. That's why I sent you that thing about the Schumann residence. The Schumann residence on the earth is it goes up and it goes down. When we started praying there in Georgia, the Schumann residence made a very unique mark, not like it's never happened before, because I went back and researched it, but it went for about from the time that we started praying around 10, 11 o'clock until about 5 p.m., it went back. Hmm. In other words, those spiritual things that we were doing were having an effect, okay? Yeah. The other thing, just to point out here, is the Revelation 12 sign. You're talking about the serpent. You need to go back and read Revelation 12 because there was a great war in heaven, right? And yeah. The devil got cast out. That Revelation 12 sign was, I don't have it off the top of my head, I think it was September 20th. Okay, 1260 days is going to end up on the end of the Passover, which is April 3rd. Okay, 1260 days to the exact day. All right. There's 150 days from October 31st to April 3rd. Okay. So these are all biblical numbers that I think are talking about a spiritual thing that's going on in the second heaven.
Amen.
And it's all
Amen.
Related.
Folks, thanks, Craig. Folks, let me make some connections here for you. Okay. I want to credit Mike Heath. Mike, if you guys aren't getting Mike's emails, he sends one out every morning, and he put two things in there that just kind of blew me away. But Mike, do the one that says, let me find it here. No. Destruction of family, Mike, and play it at 1.75 because we can play it this fast. I want you guys to ask yourself something. If you're anything like everybody else, you are fighting with your family. You're having family feuds. I'm looking for Richard Dawson. Family feuds. By the way, spurred by the spirit of Leviathan. You with me? Now, Mike sent this out this morning, and I watched it. I thought, oh, my goodness, does this ever tie in? This is 7 minutes, but we're going to play it faster than that. I don't have no idea who this woman is. She last I looked, she only had like 50 views on this thing. I don't know. But I want you to listen to this and ask yourself, if you don't see this going, you can go 175, I think we'll be okay, Mike. You ask yourself, if you don't see this going on all across America, the spirit of Leviathan at work, destructive, pride, unforgiveness. Go ahead, Mike.
Can't believe that this is happening, but this has happened to me. This is actually happening to me. And it is, you know, with a heavy heart that I say this, but I have not seen my parents, my mom and my stepdad. I haven't been able to see them all year long because they bought into the disgusting fear mongering of the MSM and Fauci and everybody. And my dad, I saw one time 5 months ago and he forced me to wear a mask. And so I just, you know, wore a mask, but I haven't seen the rest of my family all year long. So I was thinking, okay, the one reprieve all year, I get to see them for Christmas. I get to see them for Thanksgiving. Thank God. You know, I miss them so much. I want to see them. And over the weekend, as I'm trying to figure out my plans and make plans with them, they dropped the hammer on me. And I can't believe that this is happening, but it did. They just told me, both sets of parents, apparently they've been talking, they both said, we're not going to see you. We're not going to see you anymore. We won't see you until the pandemic is over and until you get a vaccine. That's what they said. Until you get a vaccine, we're not going to see you. And they're treating their own daughter now as dirty and unsafe to be around. So they've completely bought all this MSM bullshit. Excuse my language. They've completely bought it. Hook, line, and sinker. And no matter how many articles I send them, no matter how much proof I give them of the CDC being fake, Fauci being a phony, all the PCR tests being flawed, every single piece of evidence I show them, it doesn't matter. They are not seeing me. Now, my parents have cut me off until I get the vaccine. And I'm not getting the vaccine. I'm sorry, Mom. I'm sorry, Dad. I'm not going to get the vaccine. So I guess I won't see my parents. I don't know. Maybe ever again. And it's honestly really heartbreaking. I'm heartbroken. I'm disgusted. For the first time in my entire life, I guess I'll be spending Thanksgiving and Christmas alone for the foreseeable future. And they'll be missing all of my special moments in the future. And they won't budge. And I'm telling you this not to gain sympathy or, you know, try to pretend I'm a victim or anything like that. I'm telling you this because I predicted that this would happen 6 months ago. I knew this would happen. I sounded the alarm about it. I said, wait until, you know, we're going to get to the holidays and they're going to tell them, but Fauci, MSM, et cetera, they're going to say that, you know, pretty soon they're going to divide families to such a point and divide people in America to such a point where it's the masks versus the anti-maskers. And then it leads into the vaxxers, the one that want to just say, take the mask, wear the mask. Then it's going to turn into take the vaccine. And if you don't get the vaccine, or if you don't wear the mask, all of a sudden you're going to be considered dirty. You're going to be viewed as unsafe, and it's going to break up friends, and it's going to break up families, because the people that you know and love and trust the most are going to start to turn on each other. They're going to start to turn on each other. We're going to see this more and more. This is what they're sowing. These are the seeds that they've been sowing of division and opposition against each other. Right? And to those who believe that COVID is a serious, deadly virus that's going to wipe out the world if we step outside our house without a mask, versus the people that know that this is a huge sham. It's a massive, overblown psyop, and it's working. It is working. So a big congrats. Big congrats to the deep state players who have concocted this pandemic and all the MSM media propaganda outlets who have perpetuated this sham, because one of their end goals is to divide people. It is to break off relationships. It's to destroy families. And COVID is a perfect weapon to do that and to divide people up. It is perfect for them. It is a great weapon. It's a perfect excuse to divide people up. And it is working. I know I'm not the only one that had this happen to them. were their own parents. And you know what's even scarier is my parents support Trump. They're conservatives. They're Republicans. But it shows that there's actually still a very big divide. There are still Fox News Republicans, old school Fox News Republicans, who believe still that Fox News is totally real and everything out of a Fox News anchor's mouth is the truth, versus real patriots, freedom-loving patriots who watch InfoWars, who research for themselves, who are awake and knowledgeable and seek out the truth. But we have to recognize there's this whole other Fox News establishment kind of Republican that still believe in this BS, that are still willing to turn on their own children because they believe, oh, the new surge of coronavirus cases. And my dad, I'm trying to argue with my dad, and my dad's sending me all these articles. But Deanna, 50,000 new cases in LA County. But Deanna, 60,000 new cases in California County. There's a surge. There's a surge. But Deanna, Gavin Newsom just ordered that we have to follow these new guidelines for Thanksgiving. It must be really, really serious if the governor is saying it. It must be really serious if all these news articles are saying there's a big surge now in California. This is how they get to people. This is how they brainwash people. And it's so hard to get these people back, these loved ones of ours that are otherwise intelligent, logical human beings, because I know my family are. It's just, they're so brainwashed with this psyop. It is so effective. It is so sophisticated. And it's so dangerous. So I would ask all of you, if you can say a prayer for me, that I can get my family back, that they can, you know, come around eventually to the truth. I'm not going to get a vaccine. I'm not going to get it just to please my family. It is difficult. And my heart, too, goes out to all of you out there who are feeling the same thing, who are lonely, who have been abandoned by your friends or family, or you've had to cut them off because of your different beliefs, or they view you as unsafe and dirty because you believe the truth about COVID. You know the truth, and you're not willing to sacrifice your whole life and lock down and be in quarantine for the whole year because you are living your life normally, as we should, with a rebranded flu that has a survival rate of 99.8%. So my heart goes out to you, too. My prayers go out to you, too. I mean, we, you know, a lot of us are finding new family members now at this point, new friendships now. And it is so frustrating. It is so frustrating.
Amen. Amen. So here's what's going on. Now, listen, this is going on in the church, too, because what we're seeing is a battle between those of us, as my wife would say, separation of the sheep and the sheep. My wife would say, from those of us who are the men of Issachar, who understand the times in which we live and know what it is that we need to do, as opposed to the veggie tail Christians. The veggie tail, you guys know who the veggie tail Christians are, don't you? That's where the greatest battle is being played out right before us right now. Is Jesus said to his disciples, who do men say that I am? There it is, folks. That's that battle, that Leviathan battle, that seed of the serpent battle that's playing out right in front of us. Somebody help me wrap it up.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Pull it together. Not just the idea of vax or no vax. This is about numbering the people, and then you connect that with the true the vote. The only way that anybody is thinking about truing the vote is by having an international identification card.
Okay. Amen.
So divide us, and then they're going to give us the fix, which is what they do. That's the Hegel dialectic, and we're going to buy right into it. The good people are going to say, well, I'll get that real ID, and I'll carry the international identification and tracking device to true the vote, and then we'll vote for the people that will
Mike, I'm not concerned. Pull that up here. It's 2 minutes. Mike, I got this from Mike Heath this morning as well, and I thought it was worth sharing with all of you. Got some good stuff. I hear from people say, Coach, where do you have all those links? If we're not in the queue, we can't get to the links. Yeah, I get it. We'll try to do something about it. But Mike sent me this one as well, and let him get it up there. Sorry, I should have given you more notice, Mike. Come on in, Larry. You got something you want to say? Your mic's open.
Yeah, it's going to take more than a half a minute, though. So okay. I'll wait.
Go ahead.
I was wearing my mask because I just got back from a full day of being a good person. I love my mask because it's a simple yet effective way to display my righteousness. Am I concerned that 2 children in China dropped dead because they were forced to wear masks in gym class? Nope. Am I concerned that we're creating a generation of children who will be socially awkward and conditioned to fear their fellow man? No. Am I concerned that I'm contributing to an impending socialist technocracy that will enslave the global population? Not even a little bit. Am I concerned that my mask is symbolic of my compliance to the social conditioning that will eventually lead to the forced vaccination of every man, woman, and child on planet Earth? Not a chance! And why am I not concerned, you ask? I'm not concerned because I decided a long time ago that shallow, insignificant gestures are a much easier way to showcase my morality than actually being moral. Because in order to be a real good person, I gotta stand up to a real bad person. And I don't like standing up to or for anything. I've decided that it's much easier to trick my own mind into thinking compliance is a virtue instead of what compliance science actually is. Cowardice. I prefer to float through life completely ignorant to the fact that every socialist takeover has always begun in the exact same way. With government overreach, public shaming, censorship, and a toilet paper shortage. Don't believe me? Google toilet paper shortage in communist Russia. Did you think you were having a unique experience? I prefer to pretend history never repeats itself so that I can stand by and turn a blind eye every time history repeats itself. I prefer to call anyone who speaks up, fights back, or stands their ground a lunatic or a conspiracy theorist so that I don't feel obligated to do my own research. Research takes away from me time. And lastly, I prefer to put on my mask and stand among a sea of masks so that I never have to be seen, be free, or reveal the deep dark shadows that lurk within me.
Amen. The spirit of Leviathan alive and well in the good old ship USA, baby. That's for sure. Have a great Thanksgiving. We'll be here Friday morning as well. God bless
you. Happy Thanksgiving. God bless y'all.